You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
It begins. It begins now. From Podcast Detroit Studios and Zoom everywhere else, The Making of Champions, Inspiring a New Generation. Presented by Joe Lewis, champion of the Mall Bourbon, the new Joe Lewis Distilling Company, and Bigger Than Life Entertainment, the producers of the Mac Boxing Making a Champion series on CBS Sports. Each week, professional boxers inspiring amateur athletes to become champions. In association with USA Boxing, the Golden Gloves of America, the Making of a Champion Boxing Series, learning and celebrating the legacy of Joe Lewis, whose status as the first African-American national hero, who recognized the importance of being a leader, a role model inside and outside of the ring. Join host Tanya Cole and Peter Guidi, with special guests from the world of amateur and pro boxing, with me, Matt Fox, here in the Podcast Detroit studios.
Tonight, Michigan Golden Gloves and USA Boxing National Champion Joe Shug Hicks joins us tonight on the podcast. Actually, Joseph Shug Hicks was actually qualified for the 2020 US Olympic boxing team. So how about that, Peter and Tanya? Thanks so much.
Well, it's really exciting to be here tonight with Joe Shug Hicks. Joe, congratulations for making the U.S. Olympic team. That's an amazing accomplishment, a fantastic opportunity for a young person to represent the country in the Olympics. One of the things that I've noticed over the last few months is all the trouble that we've had with COVID. But before we dive into that, I'd like to introduce you to my co-host, Tanya Cole. Tanya, please say hello.
Hey, good evening. Good to see you tonight, Joe. Again, like with Peter, we're so excited to hear more about how you've gotten up to this point. 51 bouts, 146 rounds. Tell us how you got there.
On the internet, it doesn't have really all your fights, but it's about 100 and something. I got here after high school. I started boxing. It was something I always wanted to do. It was just my mother didn't want me to do it. She didn't approve of the sport. She said it was very violent. And I wasn't a good kid at the beginning. I grew and learned. Boxing actually changed me a lot. It humbled me, taught me a lot of respect. It made me a better person overall. So once I started boxing, once I actually got into it, it was something I knew I was going to stick with. I saw myself going far. My dream was going to the Olympics, and I stuck with it until I had a chance to make that dream come true. And now I get that chance, and we all know the pandemic that happened, and now I'm waiting another year.
Yeah, but you're not really waiting, Joe. You're working your tail off.
Oh, yes. Still training as if the Olympics were tomorrow. Trying to stay motivated, because sometimes it's easy to lose motivation with knowing that there's nothing that you're preparing for in the future, that your dream could possibly be crushed. It's easy to lose motivation. But I still find myself self-motivated. I still motivate myself and keep myself going.
So Joe, what does a typical training day look like for you?
So a typical day, it will be start off with strength and conditioning early. So
it's either early. How early?
down at the training center, it starts off at 7 a.m. Okay. We wake up at 7 a.m. At home, I give myself a little more rest. I wake up about 8 a.m. And I'll start with a morning run, or if not, I'll do weightlifting, pull-ups and push-ups. And then once that's done, I'll wait later on in the day, about 5. I'll go to the gym and work on my boxing technique. So it's two really intense training. It's training twice a day, intense. They both are intense, though. And Sundays I'll try to rest.
Are you doing road work?
Yes, a lot. Running at typically the minimum I want to run a day is 3 miles. That's the minimum. Mm-hmm. If I don't get to 3 miles and I feel like I wasted my time. So I typically do 3 miles, but on average, I'll say four.
So a moment ago, you said that being in the ring, becoming a boxer, made you a better person. And I was wondering if you could say a little bit more about that.
Before boxing, coming up, so my father died when I was young. I really didn't have a male figure to look up to. So I found myself doing a lot of things I shouldn't have been doing, just trying to figure life out. And I was known for street fighting. I was always street fighting, getting in trouble. And that's why my mother really didn't want me to box, because she thought boxing would make me more violent, because I was already known for street fighting, and kind of got in trouble. I was with the wrong crowd in the streets, doing things I shouldn't have been doing. And once boxing came along, it just was like, it was something I really wanted to do. I found myself looking forward to something instead of waking up, like wondering, instead of not knowing my future, waking up and wondering what today holds. I found myself actually looking forward in the future for something, actually trying to achieve a goal.
That's beautiful. It's interesting, Tanya. We hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, can you tell me a little bit about how you made that distinct switch from basketball to boxing? Because as I understand, you had Godwin Heights High School, you played basketball.
Yeah, I did. Well, it was so with basketball, I would say basketball was more of a thing that I had fun with. I had a lot of fun with, but I'd never seen a future in. And my senior year at Godwin, the coaches knew that it was that I was planning on boxing, but my mom, again, she wouldn't let me box because I wasn't old enough to sign a waiver. My senior year, I was 16, so she wouldn't sign the waiver for me, and I played basketball. I was pretty good. I was pretty decent. I went all conference, all area. But when I would transition over to boxing, it was kind of the thing for me, because it's not a team. It's not really a team sport. It's you are reliable for any mistake that happens in the ring. It's a team sport in some sense, as in you have your coach, you have your trainer. But once the bell rings, it's just you and another fighter. And I kind of like it. I like it better because the hard work that I put in, if someone else is not putting in that hard work, it's not going to affect me in my performance.
You know, it's interesting. Joe Lewis is our namesake. And one of the reasons we got this podcast going was to try to hear echoes of Joe Lewis's story in lives of young boxers coming back up. And I get a kick out of the story about your mom not wanting you to fight. And the reason for that is a lot of people don't know that Joe Lewis's real name was Joe Lewis Barra. And when Joe started to fight in Detroit, he didn't want his mother to find out. And the reason he didn't want his mother to find out is because she'd been giving him a quarter a week to go to violin lessons.
Oh, wow.
It's the truth. A quarter. Now, in the 20s, a quarter was a lot of money. If you think about what a violin lesson costs today, it's $100. So that was some serious money, okay, for his mom to be laying out, okay, for him to go to violin lessons. So he dropped the name Barrow and went to Joe Lewis. And that when his name started showing up in the newspaper, she didn't know it was him. And the legend has it that when she finally figured out that he was in the ring fighting, she wasn't very happy about it. Apparently it was a long afternoon in her household, but she went to the ring and she saw him fight, and it was really that unintentional investment in his boxing career that led him to be really the greatest heavyweight champion of all time. And I know there's a lot of fans of other great boxers out there who might not agree with that. For instance, a lot of people might say Muhammad Ali was the greatest boxer. But I heard Joe Louis in an interview tell Muhammad Ali that he wasn't. So I'm gonna believe it.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. Without Joe Louis, you don't have an Ali, you know. So
great line. Write that one down, somebody. I like that line. Without Joe Louis, you don't have an Ali. That's a great line, Joe. Fantastic line. So let me ask you about some of the controversy that I ran into when I was doing a little bit of research. Okay. And so when you fought at the Olympics, I see it might be time for us to go to commercial break, and we'll come back and talk about the Olympic trials next.
Just a quick 30 seconds. Hey, the comeback of the champion of all time, Joe Louis, is back. First released in 1952, Joe Louis Bourbon makes a triumphant return in 2020, breaking sales expectations in Michigan, now heading to Oklahoma, New Hampshire, Maine, Massachusetts, Kentucky, Florida, Georgia, and Mississippi. Embrace the quality of handcrafted pot-stilled bourbon and the empowering legacy of America's hero. The World Heavyweight Champion has the perfect pairing, true American spirit, inspiring a new generation of champions. Joe Louis Distilling is proud to sponsor USA Boxing, Team USA Boxing, along with the Golden Gloves national and local programs. Be Joe Louis. The champ is back. Visit joelouisbourbon.com and ask "Where's Joe?" at your favorite stores, restaurants, and bars as they safely reopen. Peter, Tanya, right back at you.
Thanks so much. So I wanted to dive back into Olympic trials. I was reading an article on ESPN about your fights with Martinez and how that all worked out. And one of the things that I picked up out of it, of course, USA Boxing makes the final selections. And what they said was that you were the harder worker, too. And I was kind of curious, you know, how are you and him now? Or is everything cool with you two? And, you know, how do you go forward being the harder worker?
I agree with the harder worker. So we fought three times at the trials. The first fight he won, the second fight, I had to fight my way all the way back to the finals. I won the second fight, and then the third fight, which they don't mention, was a little controversial. It was controversial. They gave him the decision. So we went to camp together. I think it was about 4 weeks. We went to camp 4 weeks. I showed that I wanted it more. I listened to everything the coaches had to say. Don't get me wrong. He worked hard as well. But I was willing to go that extra mile. And I listened to everything the coaches had to say. They told me they want to see something more. I'll do it. Even if I wasn't comfortable, I do it because I wanted this spot. And nice. As far as how me and him is now, how we are now, we'll probably fight in the pros.
You're gonna fight in the pros. Are you gonna go pro, Joe?
Yes.
What do you think was the turning?
Go ahead.
What do you think?
I was just gonna say that was a goal.
Okay, got it. Sorry about that. My apologies. What do you think was the turning point in between those three fights? Because from what I saw, it was fight number two when you knocked that mouth guard out of his mouth. What do you think was the turning point in those three bouts, and what were you thinking?
So the first fight, the very first fight, I was cautious. The guy looked like he could hit. I was a little cautious boxing, and I wasn't myself. So the second fight, I think it caught him by surprise because after fighting the first time, I realized that I was the better fighter. I believe I was the better fighter. So I think I caught him by surprise. And I think, as you said, one of the big turning points was the big right hand. I knocked the mouthpiece out of his mouth because it was a close fight. I think that was the turning point in that fight. And after that, he kind of, I looked in his eyes and I can tell that he respected me a lot more. And he was worried about my power. So that kind of, that was a turning point for me. As in, I seen the respect, I seen the fear. So in the next fight, I believe the next fight, we both came out, we both were hungry for the fight. They gave him the decision. It was a split decision. They gave him the decision. I'm not sure what would have been a point, turning point in that fight. A lot of people thought I won. His coach thought I won. At the end of the fight, his coach gave me a nod and was talking to me. He believed I won the fight. But I thought it was close. I thought it could have went to me or him. I feel like I just it was my seventh fight in a row down there. I feel like I was tired. I feel like I could have done a lot more. I think that may have been a turning point in that fight where if he fought, I think he fought four times. If I would have fought four times versus four times, or if we both fought seven times, then I think I would have got the decision.
Well, obviously USA Boxing agreed.
Yeah.
So, you got the slot. And I was noticing also that you're on Team Glass.
So I actually not with a team. I don't have a boxing home. I don't have a actual team. I did train out of their gym.
I couldn't help but notice the last name. Is that where you met Zoe?
So it's not where I met her, but I did meet her in the gym. I met her. They came down to a gym that I was training at in Lansing, and she was sparring. She was beating the crap out of a boy. And I was like, whoa.
Well, I was reading in one of your articles. You said you missed getting hit. And I'm saying, well, the guy's a newlywed. I mean, he must be getting
hit. Yeah. As a boxer, it's not really you miss getting punched, getting hit. But it's like, man, I haven't got hit in a long time.
How's being a newlywed?
It's amazing. It's awesome. It's challenging, but it's awesome. I wouldn't give it up for the world.
You know, when we started the interview a little bit, I've there've been a number of times over the last few months with the COVID-19 shutdown that I've heard lists of different people telling different stories. I've got my own, believe me. And I said, look, we've all got our story, but I mean, I know a guy up in Grand Rapids, he made the Olympic team. He was headed to Tokyo. He was getting married. He's coming back to be a pro. And all of a sudden, wham, talk about an uppercut. And, how is that affecting your mentally, when the going get tough, the tough get going? For me personally and some of my issues, all I can do is double down and work harder. And I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are on all that.
So with me, it's more of, it's like, it is depressing. It is depressing knowing that, everything I ever dreamed of was coming to me. And now it's just at a pause. But there's a promise I made to my daughter. I have a four-year-old daughter. I made a promise to her when she was three, so that's why I was going to say three. But I made a promise to her that I was going to take her to Tokyo. And my daughter, that promise, I've never broke a promise to her. So she knows she's going to Tokyo, and she still brings it up. And with that's her bringing insane. It up, yeah, and with her bringing it up, it makes me say, okay, we going to Tokyo. We got it. It's going to happen. And I just got to continue to work hard. I always believe in myself, but it's sometimes I will find myself down as in like, man, it may not happen. Everything I work for, it may just be over with. And then she'll come around, like, as I said, and she'll be talking about Tokyo. I'll be like, yeah, it's going to happen. Like, why wouldn't it happen?
It seems like your daughter's also very vested in what you're doing because she's been at every bout that you've had. And from what I've noticed on some of the YouTube videos, she can box herself.
Yeah, so my daughter, she's a girly girl, but she loves, like, she's with me so much, and she loves, like, if I'm not going to the gym one day, she'll say, she'll be like, why? She'll ask me why we're not going to the gym. Like, she loves seeing me work, and she likes to do what she see me do. So she asked me herself to teach her boxing. So, and she's only 4 and she asked that. So it just shows me how much she loves it, how much she loves what I, seeing me do something positive, and how much she sees how happy boxing makes me, and it makes her happy to be there. So I taught her a little bit, but I don't think I can let her box. It's kind of hard.
Now you sound like your mother.
Sounds like your mom.
I've seen some funny YouTube videos, some of the little girls boxing. There's one out there that makes me laugh every time I see it because she kicks the snot right out of her father. It's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. I think I know which one.
That's a funny one. Makes me laugh every time I see that thing. Oh, goodness. So when you go pro, what are your thoughts there? I mean, is this something you know, is fighting pro is different, right, than fighting amateur? And one of the things that Tanya and I have been digging into quite a bit with people is, did we lose Joe? How do you make the move from boxing in the Olympic environment where you're doing Olympic style boxing? Punching out's important, obviously, but points are a big part of it, right? And being, you know, accuracy and you know, when you move on to fighting for entertainment, you know, you're really now moving into that, you know, into a new place where, you know, you're fighting more rounds, you don't have protection, you know, there's other issues. And I'm curious if you've thought much about that and what you're thinking there is.
So, a lot of, I spar with a few pros, few good pros, a lot of pros. Tony Harrison's one from Detroit. Really good. So a lot of people and a lot of pros and coaches, and the USA coaches, when I first came down, they tell me I have a pro style. My style was already made. The way I fight is a pro style. And when the USA boxing big things were transitioning me to an amateur style. And again, like as I told you, I just listen to everything they tell me and try to do what they say. So I think going back to the pros, I'll probably transition over there quickly, because I'll be able to go back to a style that I already have. And you know, you can take less risk in the pros than you will in the amateurs because you have more rounds. So less risk, smaller gloves, so more damage. But it depends on who's inflicting the damage. Once with the smaller gloves, so
don't get hit.
Yeah. So I think with that, only thing that I think about a lot is the headbutts. It's like you headbutt now with the headgear on, it's not as bad, but you get headbutt by the actual head. You know, you see nasty cuts from that.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, we've been digging a lot. You know, we've been digging in a lot to the subject of cutting weight. And, you know, some of the implications on fighting dehydrated. And, you know, we've been asking a lot of questions. So what weight do you plan on fighting at?
So I walk around 168, 170. So I'll probably just stay 160. Because as you said, the same thing you've been reading, I read myself on how fighters are fighting dehydrated.
Doesn't sound like a good idea.
No, not at all. And you're not yourself. You know, if you're dehydrated, you have a bad night. That could be your career.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. You know, we have a lot of concerns. We have a lot of concerns about that. We want to see everybody healthy, and we want people to have you know, successful careers, and we'd like them to be able to talk about it when it's over.
Yeah. The same. I wish the same for every fighter.
Yeah, absolutely. We were talking to a boxer last week, and he's trying to figure out how boxers get retirement. So let's just say, you know, you fight for 5 or 6 or 8 years. What's after that?
So you said what's after boxing?
Yeah, what's after boxing? I mean, it's a little early, right? Because you're just at the beginning of it. But, you know, if you've got a crystal ball and you rub it a little bit, look in, you know, what do you see out there?
Even with making millions or whatever I make from boxing, I have this big dream of being a firefighter. So that's something I really want to do, regardless. It's not for money or anything. It's just something I know is going to make me happy.
I think you'd be a great firefighter. You're going to try to get on team money, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Time for another commercial break. Michael, Matt, time for another commercial break.
Around the globe, they feel it, and you will see it before your eyes. The Making a Champion Boxing Series, presented by Bigger Than Life Entertainment. Punches and Punches, the boxers dedicated to delivering thunderous and devastating blows.
Oh. A straight right
from the United States, Africa, France, and beyond. This is a real opportunity to showcase worldwide talent hooked on stardom. Boxers worldwide, their eyes on the prize. It's the Making a Champion Boxing Series. It's put up or shut up. Seen live on the CBS Sports Network.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, our friends in Detroit. And I don't know if you've seen them, Joe, the Making of a Champion series was they fought live in Biloxi, Mississippi this last week. First fight with live guests, I think, since the shutdown. They'll have a second set of fights down there the 15th. A local Detroit guy by the name of E.J. Matthews is behind Bigger Than Life. Tommy Hearns was a big friend of his. And and so he's got an illustrious career in boxing promotion, and we're very, very pleased that Joe Louis Distilling has a relationship with the guys from Bigger Than Life Entertainment. We want to thank them for everything they do for us.
Nice. That's awesome.
Kind of segueing into that a little bit, and I know you have your own unique fighting style, but there have been some comparisons to you and Floyd Mayweather. So tell us a little bit about what we might see when we see you in the Summer Olympics Tokyo 2021.
I have got some comparisons. As of now, I couldn't really tell you what we'll see because I'm working on a lot of things. I'm working on a lot of new things. As I said, as the coaches are teaching me. But for sure, you're going to see a lot of counter punching, though. That's something I've been very good at. I actually got good at it from watching Floyd Mayweather as well.
Okay.
Yeah, he can punch.
Yeah.
Now, he's from Grand Rapids, right?
Yes, he is. Actually, he's from the same neighborhood as me. His grandma lived lived in a house down the street from my uncle.
No kidding. Now, you're from Lansing, though. Are you living in Lansing now?
I'm from Grand Rapids, but I live in Lansing.
Right. And are you training up in Lansing right now?
Yes.
And how's the weather been? Has it been, with all the shutdown, you're not wearing a mask while you're running, I bet.
No, that's hard to do. Still wear a mask, though. You should wear a mask, but it's hard to do running. As far as that, the weather's been pretty nice, actually. In Michigan, it's been nice. It's been 90s.
So you've been able to get the road work done?
Yeah.
A lot of people say that the road work is the most important thing when you're training boxing.
I think so. I think the road work is the most important work. And I see a lot of people try to find alternatives and try to work their way around it, and it never works out good for them.
Probably looking for an easier way than beating their feet 8 miles down the road, right?
Yeah. But hey, what my coach always told me: if it's something you don't like, then you know it's working.
So if we want to go back, let's go back to you wanting to be a fireman. Have you talked to any fire departments about that, or?
I actually haven't. I haven't talked to any fire departments. There's a guy, his name is actually Joe. I work with him. So I talked to him, and he used to be a fire chief, and he was telling me, he tells me a lot about it. He just tells me all his adventures, times he got to put out fires and things, his training and everything. He just tells me everything about it. I know you're wondering, like, man, why does this guy always ask me about firefighting? Because I never told him that I wanted to be one, but once he told me he was one, I just always asked a bunch of questions.
I think that's really exciting, and I can tell you with absolute confidence that after the Olympics over, if you want to be a fireman or if you want to be a pro boxer, you'll be able to do both, and there'll be a lot of fire departments around the country lining up to give you a shot.
Thank you.
You can be very sure of that. And I've got a lot of friends who actually did it for a living, and most of my friends who did it for a living are retired, but that's another story.
Are you still working with Uncle T and Coach Steve and Coach Fat?
Yes, I am.
Okay. If we were to ask them to give a bit of advice to your current coach, Coach Walsh, what kind of advice do you think they would give him about you?
I think the thing they will tell him is that I'm a very good listener. And they will tell him that they want to work on me, keeping my hands up. That's one thing that all of them stress a lot, is keeping my hands up. So they would tell him to work on that. But other than that, I think they would like everything that Coach Walsh, Coach Billy, everything he's doing and has done for me. Because I feel like the new fighter. I feel a lot better than when I came into camp with him. I learned a lot. So, I think they would be very proud of the things he taught me.
Well, I think Coach Walsh is going to be real excited to see you within the upcoming days. He said about you, he has a never say die attitude. He shows tremendous amount of heart, and these are things you can work with. How does that make you feel to hear your coach say that about you?
Yeah, it's special. I've always been told that I give my all in everything. But sometimes I feel like I could have did more. So to hear that from a coach at one of the highest levels, it just makes me feel it makes me feel so much better about myself, and to continue to always stay the person I am.
That's fantastic.
Wow. That's really great. It's fantastic to hear that. It's really fantastic. So nice to know that so many good things are happening for you. Now, was it when you went out to camp? Was that your first time to Colorado Springs?
Yeah, my first time was January. Yep, that was my first time out there.
And what did you think about being at the Olympic Training Center when your first time you went in? You realized that you were at the U.S. Olympic Training Center. What did that feel like?
It was just like so. I heard about it. I have a friend that went there. And it was just like, man, I thought I'd never get here. It was something I scratch off my goal list.
Wow, it's really
exciting. So you're one of 13 teammates. Tell us about your teammates.
Oh, they're awesome. They're awesome. It's like we have like a brotherhood. And we haven't been together that long, but everyone just pretty much just support each other. If someone's lacking at something, we try to help. Everyone helps each other out. And it's just everyone, we just stick together. And it's awesome. It's like, it's almost like being on a basketball team again. It's like we all got each other back.
When you look at the competition, the international competition, I know it's hard to know a year out now, but when you look at who you'll be fighting, how do you see all that squaring up? Where do you see that? Where do you see yourself fitting in right now? All the way to the top, gold.
Yeah, I see myself winning gold right now. Nice. Yeah.
Well, we're gonna be looking forward to seeing you stand on the top of that podium, and you can bet for sure that we'll be back here cheering for you every single step of the way.
Thank you.
That's going to be a very, very, very exciting thing. And, you know, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Peter.
It's all right.
Okay. I was going to say, for those of us that want to follow you, how do we do that?
So on Facebook, I think it's Joseph S.U.G. Hicks. And on my Instagram, Joe S.U.G. Hicks. Yes. I spell it out because Shug, if I say Shug, you may think it's an H in it. In
Hey, Shug, we actually have video of you fighting, too.
If you want to find out more about Team USA, it's teamusa.org.
Yeah, you can go to teamusa.org. Or if you want to find out about USA Boxing specific, you can type in USA Boxing.
Yeah, so that's Sam Hayes.
Here we go, a little picture of Joe Hayes.
Go ahead, Sam.
I can hear the hands up, Joe. Keep those hands up.
Yeah, and that was a little older, and I still put my hands down. I don't know why.
Confidence.
I would say that, but I think it's just like a habit you get. You watch, you know, watching Floyd and watching Sugar Ray, you just pick up their habits, you know, not the good ones, not all the good, always the good ones.
Yeah, that footage was from 2017, Chuck.
Well, listen, I think we're reaching the end of this this conversation here tonight, and Joe, again, I just want to tell you how proud we are of everything you've accomplished, and so happy we are for you and Zoe and your marriage, and how excited we are for you and your daughter to reach your goal of going to Tokyo, and we hope that you do get to the gold medal and that you do stand on that top podium, and we'll be anxious to see what you do next, and you can count on us wanting you back on to hear more about it. Train hard, work hard, don't stop fighting for your dreams.
Awesome.
And as
thank
you say, mm-hmm. Hashtag God first.
Yes, ma'am. And thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate it. It was fun. And I'll definitely give you guys a shout out when I win a gold medal. All
right. Fantastic. I want to hold it.
Okay.
All right.
That's fine with me.
Take care, man.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.